you're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the West End Community Church. I trust that you are doing well this morning, and I hope that you have a great day, and I want to thank you for joining me this morning. Let me be one of the first, hopefully, to say Happy Mother's Day. This marks the second year in a row that we cannot celebrate our mothers here in church together. And the restrictions have certainly impacted the way that we can spend the rest of the day as well. We can't take our mom out to her favorite restaurant. I'm sure that may have caused a bit of panic for some of you men out there. As I'm writing this, I realize that I'm in the same boat here. I need to make some plans. But you don't need to hear about those things. I mean, in some cases, our mothers or grandmothers are in a long-term care facility, and we can't even physically go see them right now. But you know, even though this has impacted today's celebration of Mother's Day, we can still celebrate the impact that mothers make today and every day. In fact, the Bible is very clear that honoring mothers is something God wants us to do. One of those commandments is to honor your father and mother. And then that commandment was repeated in the New Testament by both Jesus and Paul. So honoring mothers is something that's on God's heart. And it's something that's very important for us all to do. Because even though mothers make a world of difference, they often don't feel like they're making a world of difference. I mean, when a mother is in the middle of trying to nurse an infant or chase a toddler or herd preschoolers or homeschool kids or get kids off to school, negotiate life with teenagers, all of those things and more. When she's doing all those things, she's often not thinking about making a big difference. Most of the time, she's just hoping to make it through. And that's why it's important on a day like today that we stop and thank and honor our mothers. The Bible's word for honor means to express value. So in essence, we are telling mothers that they are valuable. And we don't just want to thank our mothers, we want to reflect on what it takes for mothers really to make that difference, the difference that they long to make in the lives of their children. So today, I want to talk to you about the impact a godly mother can make. And I want to do that by looking at a mother in the Bible who made a huge difference in the life of her child. And her investment in this one child impacted many, many other lives, including all of our lives. Now, the mother that I'm thinking of is not really well known in the Bible. In fact, she's actually only mentioned by name once. Her son is mentioned much more. He's actually mentioned at least 25 times in Scripture. And he has two books that the New Testament addresses to him. His name was Timothy. And his mom's name was Eunice. So this morning, we're going to look at Eunice's life and see what Eunice did to impact Timothy and how God used that investment to impact all of us. Today I want to talk to you about the impact of a godly mother. And to do that, we're going to look at several scriptures that give us a window into what Eunice did as she invested as a mom in the life of her son Timothy. So if you would you join me in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, what I say today is going to be targeted specifically at mothers, obviously. But these verses have a much wider impact, and we need to remember that, because this is for anyone who is in a position of influence and has the chance to impact the next generation of young lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to all women. Not all women are married. Not all women have children. But all women can have an impact in young lives. It speaks to fathers. It speaks to men in general. It speaks to those of you who work with children in Sunday school or in kids ministry or in youth ministry. If you are a person who wants to impact the next generation in a spiritually significant way, then you can learn something from the life of Eunice. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Today I want to talk to you about the influence and the impact of a godly mother. Before we do that, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we celebrate Mother's Day this year, a lot has changed, and there are some things that we wish we could do, but we just can't at this point. But one thing that we can do is look into your word, and we can look to you. One thing we can do is hear from what you would say to us on this day and every day. So I'm asking today that as we look at the life of a lady whose story is recorded for us in your word, I pray that through her example, through your teaching, through the scriptures, we might have hope and encouragement. And I pray for moms today, that today would be a day when you strengthen them for the calling that you have given them, and that you would give us all a vision for impacting the next generation in a spiritually significant way. And I pray for your help as I open up your word. I pray for your help as we hear your word. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 1 to 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and from Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. So in those verses, we find the first way that a mother can impact the life of her children and other lives as well. I would put it this way. A mother can impact lives through modeling a sincere faith. The first thing that we're going to see clearly comes out in verse 5 is that a mother can influence lives. A mother can impact lives by modeling a sincere faith. Did you see verse 5? Let me read it for you again. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. So Paul says, Timothy, I know you have sincere faith. You have come to possess a sincere faith, but Timothy, it didn't start with you. I saw that sincere faith in your grandmother, Lois. I saw that sincere faith in your mother, Eunice. And now I'm sure it's in you too. So in other words, he says, Timothy, you were blessed by having a mother and a grandmother who have a sincere faith. Now the Greek word that's translated sincere is a word that may sound familiar to you. The word is anupokritos. The first part of that, on, means not. And the last part, upokritos, is the Greek word that gives us our English word, hypocrite. So in other words, when you put it all together, it means not hypocritical. So what Paul is saying is it's not hypocritical faith, it's sincere faith. It's a faith that is not fake, it's genuine, it's real, it's not hypocritical. The Greek word for hypocrite literally and originally was applied to those who were actors on a stage. It wasn't necessarily a negative thing. It just meant somebody who played a part and pretended to be someone else. And then in time, it began to be applied to anyone who pretends, who's not necessarily genuine. So Paul is saying about Timothy and about Timothy's mother and grandmother that they had a faith that was sincere. It was genuine. It was real. So Timothy was blessed by having a mother with a sincere faith. And you know, when I consider Mother's Day, I thank the Lord that I have that kind of mother. I have a mother who has a sincere, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The same can be said about my mother-in-law. And I'm also extremely thankful that my own kids were raised by a mother, Claudette, who has a sincere faith. Our kids would all tell you that their mom had a genuine faith, that she has a real faith. And I see that played out in the adults that they have grown into. They saw and they experienced that from the earliest days. So what I would say to you is this. If you want to impact your children, one of the things that you need is what Eunice had. You need a sincere, genuine faith. It doesn't have to be perfect faith. It doesn't have to be sinless faith, because we know that that doesn't exist. There is no such thing. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said a sincere faith. Howard Hendricks once said this. He said, "You cannot impart what you do not possess." If we hope to impart a sincere faith to our children, guess where it has to start? It has to start with us. It has to start with a sincere faith. So mums, that's why I would say to you on this Mother's Day, one of the best gifts that you can give your children is a picture of a sincere faith. That you would make it a priority to keep your own faith fresh and growing and alive and vibrant. Now, it's at this point that some moms are going to hear this and they're going to just feel a big weight on their chests, and they're going to feel like they've already been stretched totally thin. You're going to say, right now, in the midst of everything that I have going on, I do well just to get dressed, to get food on the table, to try to get my kids to do some kind of studying, to actually take time to grow my own faith at this season. It just doesn't seem like there's going to be time for that. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. And I can totally understand that the season of life that we are all going through right now, it would be even exponentially harder to find time to really cultivate a sincere faith. But I would say it's even more important to do that now than it ever has been. So let me challenge you in this way, moms and everybody else who is listening. Let me ask you a question. If you don't take care of yourself physically, do you think that that will impact your family or your loved ones in a negative way? Well, obviously, it will, right? If you don't eat well, if you don't get enough sleep, if you don't take care of yourself physically, eventually you're going to give out. And then you're going to be no good to anybody. But let me ask you the same question, but from a spiritual standpoint. If you don't take care of yourself spiritually, do you think that that's going to have a negative impact on your loved ones, on your family, on your children? If you're spiritually malnourished, if you don't have anything going in, then you won't have very much going out. So moms, mothers who want to impact their children, do their children a favor by taking care of their own spiritual growth, their own spiritual faith, their own spiritual lives. Do you remember? I don't know if you've ever ridden an airplane before. It seems like none of us ride airplanes anymore. But back when I was on a few airplanes here and there, you get on the airplane and you taxi on the runway. And as we're taxiing before takeoff, the flight attendants give their speech. And that's time for you to just not pay attention, right? Your eyes glaze over. You think about some other things. But there's always one part of that speech that's always kind of struck me. And it's the part about a loss of cabin pressure. And they say that this yellow mask is going to fall down magically from the ceiling. And you're supposed to take that mask and you're supposed to pull it towards you and put it on your face and pull it up tight. And then start breathing naturally and normally instead of hyperventilating, I guess, because you've lost cabin pressure. But then they say something seems counterintuitive, because they say that if you have young children, you put your own mask on first, and then after your own mask is secure, you help your kids. That seems like it would go against the natural instincts of almost every mother out there, right? Because they're immediately going to say, I need to take care of my kids first. I need to put their mask on first. But the reason why they say you put your mask on first is so that you will be able to help the kids put on their mask, because you're no good to them if you pass out. So you take care of your own breathing first so that you can help them breathe properly after. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, spiritually speaking, it's only as you breathe deeply, it's only as you take time to pray and to talk to God, that you take time to open up His Word and feed your soul. It's only as you continue to do that, that spiritual oxygen, that life-giving work of God's Spirit is going to flow in you and then flow through you. And one of the best gifts that you can give your children is the same gift that Eunice gave to Timothy. She gave him an example of a sincere faith. So a mother can impact lives, first of all, by modeling a sincere faith. Let me give you a second thing that Eunice did that moms and all the rest of us can do as well. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 to 16. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 16. Let's read that together. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So in these verses, especially in verse 14 and 15, I see the second thing that Eunice did that moms today can still do. Because a mom can impact lives not only by modeling a sincere faith, but here we see that mothers can impact lives by communicating the Scriptures. A mother can impact lives by communicating, by speaking, by telling, by reading the Word of God. A mother can impact lives by communicating the Scriptures. That's what Eunice did. And Paul, without mentioning her name here, kind of gives Eunice a shout out here in verse 14. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. He says, Timothy, hang on to what you believe because you know who you learned it from. Well, who did he learn it from? Who did Timothy learn it from? Well, look at verse 15. Who taught Timothy when he was a child? It would have been Eunice. It would have been Lois, his grandmother. They taught him the sacred writings. They taught him the Word of God. Did you notice that Paul calls the Scriptures the sacred writings here? What Paul is saying is that this book is holy, that this book is set apart. It's different from every other book because it's God's book. And he illustrates that point in verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. God's book is the book that trains us. And Eunice taught Timothy God's book from the time that he was a child. And then look what comes next. What does it say in verse 15? How from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So Timothy was taught God's book by Eunice, these sacred writings, because she knew that in this book he would learn about salvation, that he would gain wisdom on how to be saved by God and learn, as it says there at the end of verse 15, that this salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So Eunice opened the scriptures with her little boy, and she taught him from the earliest ages. Some translations actually say from infancy. She taught him from the earliest days that here are the words from God and that these words will point you to salvation. Salvation that comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an incredible gift. You see, moms can make an impact on lives by communicating the scriptures. Eunice did that. Back in Vanderhoof at the Gospel Chapel where I grew up, there were Bible memorization contests for kids, and my mom entered all of us in those contests every year. And so in between Hockey Night in Canada and the Tommy Hunter Show, I can't believe I just admitted that to you, and bedtime, we always took some time that evening to memorize the verses that we were to recite the next day. And they were the bane of my existence. I couldn't deal with that. And my mom was relentless. She would not let us stop until we knew the verses by heart perfectly so that we could recite them the next day. And I look back on those times now, and I'm just very appreciative. I would say to you, to all of you, and especially to you moms, one of the great gifts that you can give your children is to give them the gift of knowing the scriptures. So read it to them from their youngest age. Get a Bible that's a children's Bible that has pictures in it that lets them see the stories of Jesus. Make sure from the earliest age you get them imprinted with God's book. You let them know that this book is the holy book. This book is from God, and it shows you the way to salvation. And then as your children grow up a bit, teach them to memorize it. Teach them to learn verses. Help them do it. And when they begin to hide the word of God in their hearts, work with them in that. And then as they grow up and become teenagers, help them get to reading the Word of God regularly. Reading the book of Proverbs talks about choosing friends wisely, how to handle anger, how to handle sexual temptation. As long as you have them, teach them the Word of God. Communicate to them the scriptures. You see, a mother can make a huge impact by modeling a sincere faith and by communicating the scriptures. Now again, as I'm saying this, I get that some of you could be feeling like you're asking too much. I just don't do that very well. I confess, I get scattered, I get busy, I'm working hard just to get through, and this feels overwhelming. I don't know if I can do this. I know I can't do this by myself. It's too big. It's too big a task. I'm just inadequate. If you feel that way, let me just assure you, you are in good company. And let me show you a third thing that I think will encourage you. A third thing that we can learn from Eunice's life that moms today, and really by extension all of us, can benefit from. I would put it this way. We've already seen that a mom can impact lives by modeling a sincere faith, by communicating the scriptures, and now here's the third thing. A mom can impact lives by leveraging godly help, by making the most of godly help, because there are some resources out there to be used, and a wise mother will say, I don't have to do this all by myself. There's help that God has provided, and a mother can impact lives by leveraging godly help. You see, when you read about Eunice's life, I mean, there is very little, obviously, in Scripture about Eunice's life, but when you put the pieces together, the best that we can tell, she may have been a spiritually single mom. I don't mean she wasn't married. She was married. Timothy had a dad. We know that from the book of Acts. His dad was a Greek, and his mother was Jewish. But we're never told that his father had a sincere faith. I mean, back when I read 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. So it could have been that Timothy grew up in a house where his mom knew and loved Jesus, but his dad didn't. We don't know for sure, but I'm sure that Paul would have said that if that had been the case. But the point is that Eunice understood that she still didn't have to go it alone, and she made use of, or she leveraged, other resources that God had provided. So let me show you four things really quickly here that she made use of. And moms, these are the same resources that you can make use of today. Four resources that were part of Eunice's raising of Timothy that I think that we should consider as well. Here's the first thing. Godly family members. As I said, as best as we can tell, Eunice didn't have a husband who necessarily shared her commitment to Christ. We don't know for sure, but that doesn't seem to be the way it is. But she did have a mother who had a sincere faith. Paul says her name was Lois. And from infancy, somehow Lois, as well as Eunice, invested in Timothy. And what I would ask those of you who are mothers today is this: who are the people in your family circle that can help you instill God's word, that can help you instill God's truth in the lives of your children? I mean, ideally, yeah, that would be your husband. And if you're married and you have a Christian husband, that should be a partnership, because it can't all rest on you. It has to be a partnership. But if you're a single mom, or if you're a mom whose husband is not there yet, then ask yourself, who are the other family members in the wider circle of your family? Do you have a grandmother, a mother, a grandfather, a father? Who are the people that you can look to help you raise your children, spiritually speaking, to model the faith that you have? And I'm so thankful, I gotta say this, that our three kids had godly grandmas and grandpas on both sides. From the earliest ages, both sets of our parents, Claudette's and mine, were building into their grandkids by being good examples and by loving them and by loving them the way that God loves them. And let me just say to you, grandparents, you play a huge role. You can help parents raise those children to know and to love the Lord by being good examples and by displaying that sincere faith that Paul was talking about. So I would say this: if you're a mom and you have parents who share faith in Jesus Christ, then use that, then leverage that. Get them involved. Encourage their connection with your kids. Maybe it's a maybe it's an uncle. Maybe it's an aunt. Maybe it's another family member, a sibling. Whatever it is, use those godly family members to help raise your children to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's the first one, godly family members. Here's the second one, godly believers at church. Use the influence of godly Christians from your church. Quickly turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16, and I want to read the first few verses of that chapter. Acts 16, verse 1 and following. Let me show you how Eunice got help from the godly Christians at their church. Chapter 16, verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So here's the story. Paul is on a missionary journey, and he comes to a local church there in Lystra, and there he meets this young guy named Timothy. And verse 2 tells us that the people in the church were all saying, hey, you got to take notice of this guy, this young guy named Timothy. He's sharp. They spoke well of him. Now think about that. That means that Timothy's mom somehow got him to church. Somehow she connected him to a local church where he became a part of it as he grew up. And he must have been serving as well, because the people there said that Timothy was sharp, that he was a keeper. He was someone for Paul to watch out for. So the point is that Eunice leveraged the help of the local congregation of believers in raising her son in the Lord. And I would say to all of you moms, I want to give you this encouragement. Thank you for being part of our church. Because when you involve your children in any local church, specifically in our church, then it's like you're including the circle of a spiritual family that can impact your kids for the glory of God. And I think about the different people in this church as I look out over this empty sanctuary. I imagine many of you, and I imagine the impact that you have had on my kids over the years. And I say to you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, I grew up in a local church back in Vanderhoof, and I can certainly look back and think about some of the people who had an impact on my life. Many of them spoke into my life at many different times. Sunday school teachers, boys club leaders, youth leaders, they're all great examples. And they would have never had any influence in my life if my parents, if my mom, had not brought me to church. So moms, what I would say to you is to make sure that you make it a high priority to involve, to embed your children in the life of the local church. Be around other believers who love the Lord Jesus. Let them have spiritual grandparents in the fellowship of the faith. Eunice did that. She leveraged godly family members, godly Christians at church. Let me give you another one. A third one that comes out in Acts chapter 16 and verse 3. Take a look at that again with me. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek, and they went on their way through the cities. They delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So here's what happens. Paul comes, he's on a missionary journey, he meets Timothy, and he says, Timothy, I want to invite you to travel with me to go tell other people the good news of Jesus Christ. So at this point, Eunice probably has some conflicting feelings, right? I mean, you know what that's like. Claudette and I actually just said goodbye to our boys this morning. They're heading to Alberta to work for the summer. They only got to be here for a month since school ended, but it was hard to see them go. But here in this situation in Acts chapter 16, Eunice, her son, is going to leave. He's going to leave town. He's going to leave, and he's going to go off with a missionary to some places that probably could be dangerous. It could be difficult. And somehow Eunice doesn't stand in the way, and Timothy went. And we all know that that changed his life. In fact, I would say that Eunice lost the proximity to her son, at least for a time, but she gained something else. She gained the knowledge that Timothy now had a spiritual father that he may never have had before. In fact, I don't know if you remember, but when we read 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul addressed Timothy as my beloved child. I mean, it's clear that Paul saw Timothy as his spiritual son, and Paul impacted Timothy's life. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, it says this. Paul is saying to Timothy, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Do you see what he's saying? He said, Timothy, you know my life. You have been close to me. You have seen what I taught. You have seen how I live. You see, Paul was pouring into Timothy's life, and some of that happened because Eunice blessed it and let it happen. And moms, what I would say to you is this. One of the great gifts that you can give your children is to encourage them to be influenced, to be mentored by godly Christian leaders, by those who take an interest in their lives, by those who speak into their lives. And you know, I think this is especially critical as your kids start to move into adulthood. As they are young adults moving out of high school and moving into what's beyond that. A number of years ago, there was a massive study done by the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, and it was called Hemorrhaging Faith. And it talked about how they studied local churches and found that a disproportionately tragic percentage of students who went through youth group in their own churches during their high school years, when they got done with that and they started the transition between high school and what lay beyond, some college, some university, some the job market, what they found was that many of those kids or those young adults walked away from the church and walked away, at least for a time, from their faith. Then, later on, the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada did a follow-up study, and they called it renegotiating faith. And what they found was this, that when those students are transitioning from high school years into young adulthood, if they had a mentor, in fact, if they were involved in higher Christian education, they would do way better in terms of retaining their faith. So the point then is that there is profit in helping your children or encouraging your children to maintain and to establish relationships with godly men and women who can speak into their lives. So what have we seen so far? We know that Eunice leveraged godly help through godly family members, through godly Christians at church, through godly Christian leaders. Let me give you one more thing, because the fourth thing that Eunice relied on and leaned on and made use of was very simply God's grace. Really, God himself and his grace. Yes, it's important to have godly family members, and yes, it's important to have godly Christians at church and godly leaders, but most important, obviously, what helped Eunice the most was God himself through his grace. It's interesting that when you look at 2 Timothy, the letter that Paul writes to Timothy, he starts and he finishes the book by talking about God's grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And then chapter 4, verse 22. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. See, grace is God's favor. It's his goodness. It's his help. And if our children are ever going to grow up and carry on in the faith and be strong and stalwart for Jesus Christ, it will not be because you did a great job as a mom, or your husband did a great job as a dad, or your church did a great job of coming alongside. All those things are important. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we've just talked about it for the last half hour. But what is most important is the grace of God. It's God's grace that takes a child, that finds a child, that keeps a child, that grows a child. It's God's grace which gives us help, because God's grace is available to all of us. And moms, what I would say to you is this, that if you want to make an impact, if you want to influence the life of your children, keep pouring out your heart in prayer and asking that God's grace would be upon them and that he would go after them. He will use you. And yes, he will use others. But ask him to do a work in your kids that none of you all together could do, because God's grace is what changes a life. So on this Mother's Day, I want to say to all of you who are moms, whether your kids are little or whether they're grown and gone, I want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for investing so much of your life in the lives of others. Thank you for leaving a legacy that will outlive you. Thank you for investing in those who will now go and invest in others. You have made and are making a huge difference. And I want to say thank you. We honor you. The Lord honors your efforts. But I want to remind all of you that everything that we've been talking about today stems, first of all, from you having a sincere faith yourself. That's where it all started. That's where we started talking. And if you want to have an impact in the lives of others, it has to start with you. If Eunice was going to impact Timothy, she had to have a sincere faith. So moms, can I close by asking you this question? Do you have a sincere faith? Because that's going to be the basis for everything else, that you have a sincere faith. And that sincere faith comes to all who receive God's grace. You see, God has grace, not just for your kids, but for you too. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And I would say that the greatest gift that God wants to give you and that you can then help pass on to your kids is the gift of eternal life that comes by his grace through your sincere faith. At some point in Eunice's life, we don't know exactly when, we just don't know, but we know that she came to receive God's grace through faith. At some point in her life, she heard about Jesus, how he had come, how he had lived, how he had died for our sins, how he had made the way to come to God, and Eunice believed it. By grace, through faith, she received it and it changed her life. And then God used her to impact the life of her child, Timothy. So let me ask you today, do you have that sincere faith? And if not, do you know that you can start today? That you can very quietly and humbly and sincerely just say to God, Lord Jesus, I want to believe in you. I trust in you. I need that for my own life. I need spiritual life. I need forgiveness. And I ask for it. Do that today and you'll be able to say, now, Lord, help me to be used by you to pass on that faith to others. Others like my children. Mothers make a world of difference. And it starts when God makes a world of difference in the life of a mother. So on this Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my wife. Happy Mother's Day to my mom. Happy Mother's Day to my mother-in-law. God bless you today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I want to pray your blessing on each and every mother who hears this message. Sometimes they don't feel much like they're making a difference. Sometimes they may look and even see grown children that don't seem to be walking close to you. Maybe they feel like a failure. But I'm asking today that you would show them a little bit of the influence and the impact that they have had in their children's lives. And I pray that they will continue to be used by you and that your grace will follow each and every one of their children. I pray that today, each of us, whether we're a mother or anyone else, I pray that we would have a desire to have that sincere faith that comes through grace, through faith in Jesus, so that then you could use all of us to impact other lives in ways that will last for eternity. So, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said right at the beginning, I hope this day is great for you. And to all the moms out there, to all the ladies, happy Mother's Day. Have a great week, and hopefully I'll get to talk to you soon.